Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom. Hosted by Adam Sartwell.
Hi, listeners. Before I introduce who I have with me today, let us all get into sacred space together. So take a deep breath. Come into presence where you are. As we call to the Great Spirit, we call to the two who move as one, to the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We call upon the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, past, present, and future, creator, sustainer, and destroyer, weaver of the web. We call to the god, the lord of light and the lord of darkness, god of the green and the gold, god of the horn and the red, singer of the song. Be with us now and forever. So mote it be. So listeners, today I have Scott Smith with me, who is the lead minister of Aries. So Scott, how do you spiritually identify?
I'm clapping and I realize that we're not doing video so no one can see me. thank you for having me on the show. I love this podcast, so I listen all the time. I do identify as a witch. That is my spiritual identification and has been for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. Do you feel like there are, you know, because I know there are some people who classify, they'll take witch and then add to it of like, they'll take witch and they'll go, I'm a crystal witch or I'm a, you know, like they have a certain focus. Do you feel like you have that or no?
I love that. For people like I really like that. I just had a conversation yesterday. My friend is a writer and she was helping me to make a promo for my work, and she was like, where's your promo? And I was like, I don't know, like, you know, like I'll put one together, sure. And so she was helping me with that, and we were sort of going through the, you know, my services of things, you know, like mm-hmm. it all falls under the umbrella of witch.
Yeah,
you know, like for me that's like the hyper constellation of everything that I do is witch. And then within that are various things. And I said, it's sort of hard to say, you know, having done this for so long, it's sort of like, I do have specialties of things that I do, but to sort of pack them into a something.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, Mary Poppins, like, you know, you know, I got a bag, I pull things out.
I know for myself, like that is a real struggle as like an entrepreneur and things like that, because you know, like when I learned hypnosis and hypnotism and became a consulting hypnotist, I was like, oh, I should separate these things. That was what people advised me to do. And I was like, but people know me as a witch. Like, that's why they would come to me. And so now I'm sort of trying to integrate those parts and be like, no, I'm a witch who does hypnosis, but you know, like it's not all I do, you know, because I've done readings and healings and all sorts of other things with my true title, you know?
Yeah. And for me, like when I say witch, I understand that like when you talk about it or anybody that I know talks about it, that there's a broad definition within that that allows mm-hmm. for us to be all of those wonderful things that we are and all the offerings that we have inside it. But for someone outside of it, you know, for me to say witch, it's sort of like, what does that mean for you? You know, because I don't know how they're seeing me in it. So I tend to say like, you know, if there was like monikers to what I do, like, you know, like little taglines to what I do, I usually say like healer, because I have a very robust healing practice. I will say psychic often, although some people will say he's my consultant because they don't want business to know I'm a psychic, you know, that sort of thing. And I really like artists. I really identify as artist as well, because I've not only, I think it's all art.
Yeah.
I think all of it is art. Living is art. Although I do make art. So I'll generally put like witch, but like healer, artist, consultant, you know, those sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah, I've put energy healer on there. I put Reiki master on there. I put, you know, like tarot reader. Which people are much more comfortable with than me
Yeah.
going, I'm fucking psychic and
Yes.
I could touch you and read you, but I'm not going
You
to,
really
you
are
know?
too, yeah.
Whatever. So, what is your spiritual origin story, Scott?
I really thought about this question a lot. And I had to kind of talk myself through it a few times since I've been traveling a lot and sitting in the car by myself, listening to podcasts. And so to really unpack that, I sort of have to dive a little bit into pop culture, into the 70s and all that sort of stuff to what really influenced me. But essentially, I was a hypersensitive kid because of my family environment. You know, like I was more alert than like you would think a child should be, you know, would have to be. And because of that, at a very early age, I was recognized as being sensitive. Like adults would say things, and I would be like, that is not what they're saying. And I would get in trouble because I was saying what they were really feeling, you know, like, or I would respond to what they were really thinking versus what was coming out of their mouth. Although my mom was really keen on that. And then later she would go like, okay, what did they really say? You know, 'cause she would want to know like if they were true or not.
Genuine.
Genuine. Yeah. You know, I had, so these were without really, you know, understanding what was happening to me and being a child. So you're really open to everything. I had a hard time distinguishing dream and wake. So everything was dream. And so I would always tell people like, hey, we're all dreaming right now. And they were like, no, you know, 'cause it was strange. It was strange. You know, it was out of the box of things. I would go to sleep. I could immediately lucid dream when I was very young, with the plan to like catch lizards. 'Cause I was that kid. So I was like 5 years old. I'm like, I'm gonna catch lizards tonight. And I would go to sleep and catch lizards and then wake myself up and not have the lizards, you know, like and search my room for the lizards. So it was sort of like that. But then along the way, I saw three really powerful women on television, and most of them were through the first, who was Elvira, in the creature feature that she would have on Saturday or Sunday mornings in Northern California. And I was like, oh, that's me. You know, like whatever she's doing, that's me. And then I saw it was some mix of like Bewitched, right? With Andora, who was the more provocative person to me when I was young. And of all things, and some people might go like, oh my God, you were a little kid, why were you watching that? But when I saw Carrie, the movie by Stephen King based on the novel, I was like, mama, that's me. Not that I wanted the scenarios, but like I just understood her. Like I really understood her outsiderness and her ability to sense and perceive and those sorts of things. You know, not wanting to manifest that life path, but but I started to say that I was a witch when I was maybe 5 years old or 6 years old. So 70s hippie parents, that was, you know, easily digestible in a lot of ways. I had invisible people that I talked to. It just all sort of rolled with it. Then sometime in, so that was sort of like a playful thing for me. And then sometime at around the age of like 12 or 13, my auntie had said, she had overheard a conversation her friends and I were having, and she was like, oh, well, have you heard of? She started out throwing out really obscure and book titles I was never going to find, like The Lesser Key of Solomon and all this sort of stuff. And we were like, what are you talking about? Stop the press. Like, you know, like, what is this thing? And then we went to the library to try to find books on magic. Found some really terrible titles that were in publication in libraries at the time, which now in my later years, I actually want them because I want to pick apart the spells inside them to just sort of see like, would that really work? But that's where like the throttle was sort of found in a more conscious way to sort of say like, oh, this is that I have agency with this. Like I can do these things. I can start to go that direction. So then that opened a door. I found a local bookshop. It was called Mystic Gems in Newark, California. It was run by a woman named Lorraine. And I just basically glued myself to that store. I left school and I was either at the comic book store or I was at the occult bookstore with a friend. And we took all of the classes. We met tons of people. This was the 80s. So I got to sit in things with like Greg from like Pyramid Power. Like I got to be in his classes and like other names, because we were part, that store was part of the Bay Area Pagan Assembly, the BAPA. And so everyone would just roll through there, and I was there. I was in all the classes. I did all the things, from like trance channeling, light body stuff, to like tarot crystal. Like I ate as much of it as I could. And all along the way, adults were like, "You should slow down. You're a teenager." And I'm like, "Don't you understand the nature of the world? I have to know this now." And they were like, "Relax, kid." Because they were like in their 50s and 60s and stuff. But I just really caught on fire with it. It just was me. It was just, the more I could get it, the more I was in it. And it started with just naturally being me. It was influenced, I think, by popular culture and really helping me to identify, and then very strongly in my teenage years. But that's when it all started to sort of buffet style come together.
That's awesome. So now you are the lead minister of Aries Ministry, which is mostly focused on the archetype of the warrior. So what does the warrior mean to you?
I thought about this question too, before we met, and I was thinking too, like my Aries ministry origin story is interesting, because someone else in the temple at the time, Chris, who's been on the podcast, Jerome, and we had talked about, he was like Aries, you're gonna go Aries, and I was like, yeah, it keeps happening to me, like Aries is coming to me, like Aries is approaching me regularly, and why wasn't it Virgo Ministries that you went towards? Why wasn't it like some other art artistry? Like why didn't you go any of those directions? And it was because Aries kept on showing up, like the ministry spirit kept on showing up to me. So that's really when I asked myself, how do I serve in a greater capacity in the temple? Where is my place within it to create offering or to do what I do? It was Aries. It was like, hi, hello, I'm over here. Come this way, please. Holding my little name card. So I went that direction. The warrior, I think, is, Aries provides protection for the temple. Essentially, we're the protectors within the temple. I think the warrior for me as Aries has both a child and adult aspect to it, because Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, right? Like it's the baby boy, it's the baby girl, it's the baby one coming forward. It's that light coming into the world. So there is a playfulness to it. There is an openness to, go through new doors or through walls, like the Kool-Aid guy. Like, oh yeah, like Aries just sort of does that thing. That's an Aries, right? But then there's the aspect of the warrior, which is the protector, which is the defender, which is the one who goes into the front, or the one who finds the position to be the best aid for whatever sort of protection that's needed in whatever it is that we're doing. It's kind of a broad thing, but I think when we're talking about the warrior in that aspect, I would say protector and defender, for community and for specifically for the Temple of Witchcraft, for our community. I think the warrior in general is broad. There's a lot of ways that we can look at that as an archetype. But I think when we say, like, who is the warrior to me? Like how am I a warrior, and what's the relationship it is to me? It's that aspect of the Aries ministry, which is know thyself, right? And it is about your inner strength, and it is really about touching then the truest aspects of who you are, right? And being strong in that, in the world, right? And that is a warrior spirit. That is a fire within all of us, and that is really the warrior.
As I think of when I think about Aries, I think about how the statement is I am.
Oh, I am. Yeah.
You know, I am. And then you fill in whatever it is. That's sort of the Aries, like, I am this. They have personality. I have a brother who's an Aries, so I know it well. What do you think this archetype can be helpful in the life of a witch or in life in general? And I know, just to add on to this, I have a couple of thoughts of, like, you know, we look at the warrior in the nowadays, we might, you know, look to people in the military complex, or, you know, things like that. They're warriors, you know, like, they've been trained and they have all this stuff. But I feel like we rarely recognize that the warrior is also the activist. The warrior is also the senator who takes things and shuts things down. It's a judge who's, you know, making rulings that are actually, you know, aligned with you know, with good. Does that make sense? So what do you think about that? How do you think that archetype is now really helpful to people, to witches, to everyone?
That's a really deep, good question. I feel like I don't mean to say this in a way that's risky, right? When I say this to someone who might be listening, but in the way that's right for you, right? To be unafraid of who you are and to be in the place of exploring that in the best way possible, in the healthiest way possible for you. So when we're talking about the warrior, we might see things in the world, you know, as witches, and we're like, ooh, that's not really safe. Ooh, that's not really cool. Oh, those people are definitely going to come with pitchforks. You know, like we can see these aspects in culture and society, like I make light of right now, but are very real, dangerous, you know, things in the world. And so, that's why I say not risky about it. You know what I mean? Like where we have to know when to act and when to remain silent and when to move forward and when to move in stealth, you know, like, and all of those sorts of things. But to really tap into that for us as witches, it's that be unafraid of who you are within yourself. You know what I mean? It's that I think culture and society really causes us to doubt who we are. Not only I think because for me witchcraft is very mercurial, like we're like sort of shape-shifty, you know, like we change, and then the more we do things we change and we become new things, and there's this core element that's always us. So there's a kind of instability, if you will, you know, to us, because there's a fluidity, which I think is very stable, honestly, once you get used to it. But you know, from an energetic standpoint. But in culture, there's not a place for us. In society, there's not, like, there are spaces, there are places. So that tells us a lot to be afraid of who we are, because you don't belong here, right? But if we could find that within ourselves, through our inner temple work, through our regular practices, through creating spaces for ourselves, by having a private altar somewhere, by having a community space that we can go to, by gathering with like-minded folk, you know, who are going to strengthen that for us. This can help us to strengthen that, but it's really ultimately that's where I think the warrior serves the most for witches. Because I could say, like, yeah, you know, like if you're serving in some sort of, you know, like judicial or law enforcement or any of those things, in which I know people who do, there are very practical applications for the warrior in those positions, but not everybody is in that, you know, so.
I think sometimes that witches will shy away from the warrior aspect. Not just, you know, like, there are some people who are just not comfortable with that. But I do feel like there are aspects of the warrior that are useful in, you know, some of the other roles. Does that make sense? Of like, that, you know, the warrior stands up for something that, you know. I also think there's a little bit of how the warrior acts where they choose the battle that they are going to work on.
Yeah, I mean,
And
there's the, yeah.
yeah, Because sometimes I know in our pagan community we have a lot of people and a lot of opinions and a lot of ideas of how things should be. And the one thing that irks me sometimes is that people will project their cause onto like people who are in service basically to the community. So they'll try and make my mission statement something else, and I'm like, no, that's not my mission. I'm here to teach you how to do witchcraft and do it for yourself. That's my guiding light here. Or I'm here to heal and replace and help you get through those things. That they don't realize sometimes that they're projecting their warrior onto us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it was, you reminded me a couple things. I said before we started, I am verbose. That Tracy Chapman, the singer, songwriter, artist, was just featured, and someone had said, like, oh, she's a protest songwriter. And she was like, actually, I'm a storyteller. She's like, there's aspects of what I do that is this, and I'm filling in blanks and being a little liberal by surmising it in such a way. But you can look it up. And she sort of says, I'm more than just this thing that you're projecting onto me, and that really hit. Like, I was like, ooh, that's a true thing for all of us, I think, to be said. I think to go to the other parts of what you were saying, for me, I there are two things that are there. And one is, I think it's because of the world that we live in, it's very appealing to find a mono story for everyone, right? Like that this is what we're all in it for, this reason. And I think in a lot of ways we do need a new story that sort of brings us together. But I think the new story in that really has to be like, it's inclusive of all the freaks walking together towards towards that goal, and not everyone falling into line, to some shape, way, or form for those sorts of things. But the warrior, I think, the thing that I really see, especially coming from the position of Aries and coming from I'm a fire sign, I'm a Leo, like Sag rising, like I'm like rah, right? The thing that I see is in the fire is power. And I think that in our society, in our world, we have a weird thing in which we're like, power is bad, right? Like you definitely, like when people get power, they're corrupted, and they do these horrible things, and like it's always like a position of power is abusive, right? Or when someone's in a position of power, we're looking for the fault within that position of power. But I think that's also because we're all like, ooh, no power, like don't touch it, like focus on love and focus on these other things, which are also equally valuable. But divorcing ourselves from standing in the power and holding controversy, holding the energy that polarizes, holding the energy that activates, right? We don't want to be that person. We leave the space open for people who are like, I'll take the damn power and I'll be in with it, and they'll do horrible things.
They
You know what I
won't be
mean? And so it's
tempering it with love or wisdom.
right, exactly. And so we I think, it's in people that I work with too, it's like I'm always like, like take the power. Be cool with it,
Get comfy.
own it, but don't be a
Own
dick,
it. Make it your new comfort zone.
because it is uncomfortable. It is
It is.
uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And to know that, what you are doing can have an effect on others, and can change their lives. If you're not tempering that with love and with wisdom, what the are you doing?
You're not even there. You're not
You're
present. You're
not
not
even
present.
there. So I this has been really interesting, and I'm gonna move on to our next question, please. What projects in your ministry are you excited about?
The well, I'm I'm very excited for the work that we've done so far, which has been protection and getting people just really in the mode of being part of the full moon protections that we're doing for the temple. I'm excited to offer new sort of gatherings for initiates to participate in protection for various groups, issues, and causes. This is something that you and I had talked about in our meeting. So we're putting together the notes for that. So those are upcoming, and they're sort of based on the zodiac signs in that, like, we could look at, like, who's in service industry, who's in, like, et cetera. So mothers and children, et cetera. Like, and so we're looking forward to sort of putting those forward, and those will be through the Temple of Witchcraft initiate groups. I'm not sure how you guys do that through the website, like, if that's a sign up for initiates through the email
Yeah, usually we
thing
put
or
it on
whatever.
our initiates Facebook group, but that may be changing just because we've had a couple of issues with Facebook recently, where they've been taking down our events for no apparent reason.
Yes, same.
Whatever. So that'll be good. It'll be open to those people who are initiates of the temple. That's usually anyone who's gone through Witchcraft 1. Has access to that, much like our healing case study group, which is available to anyone to practice who is actually initiate. So it's pretty awesome. So what in your personal practice has been helping you recently?
I have a pretty robust personal practice, and it is just about every day. There's a few days in which I'm like, oh yeah, hello spirits, I'm super tired because I just did da 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 da, and I am laying here watching Avatar: The Last Airbender. That's where I'm at. Meet me here. I would say lately, what's been the most helpful though has been making sure that my personal energetic, psychic, and spiritual fields are clear, and that my protection is up and that I'm grounded. Those have been the most, I'm in my feet, I'm in my body, and I'm connected to the earth, in my heartbeat, in my skin, and that there's no psychic garbage floating around in the air around me. So I am clearing spaces, and I'm clearing my aura regularly.
Well, I have talked to a lot of sensitive energetic people recently, and there is a lot of psychic garbage floating around, and people's, some of the people that I've talked to, I know they have some of that within their home, and sometimes it's, at work. Sometimes it's that sort of thing. And I do think, the clearing exercises that we learn in Witchcraft One, the like all of that is so useful to reset your energy, reset your boundaries, so that you're not so that you can get up and still have energy and, get around to your day, even when things are going crazy out there in the world.
Energetic clearing, showers of light, banishing pentagrams, reaffirming protection shields, and singing. Honestly, singing. Just really, like, even if it's just vowels and tones, like, which is more Witchcraft 4 kind of stuff, but I will sing, like, out the tones of the elements and stuff like that. That's very helpful to me.
I a long time ago, I don't know why this is coming up for me, but I'm going to share it with you and the listeners. There was a class at a pagan pride in Vermont. And this woman was teaching her class or whatever, but it was about spiritually healing through the voice and using the voice to do like energetic cleansing. Because when you create vibration, it's like energy pulses out of you, but doesn't have to come back. And so she could use it in a way that she wouldn't pick up some of the stuff that people were going through. And she would use the word release and sing it. And we did like, it was like four of us stood around the person and sang the word release, like really long, and harmonized with each other as the person in the middle was being like buffeted by all of this sound. And I have not seen anyone else do that.
I'm standing in the
Energetic.
middle of that.
And like, I was like, that is, like something that I experienced that I'm like, I've never seen anyone else do that way. Usually people are using an instrument or, but she used the voice and, she was very like, I love, she singled me out because she's like, I love doing with you because you harmonize really well. And I'm
Awesome.
like, thanks. But yeah, so I just using the word release and being like, release,
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. Yeah.
And it was
Yeah.
about like letting go of all the energetic that flies
I sing the
around.
animals of my directions. I sing the
Oh
plants of my directions. I sing the archangels. I sing most of my practices. Like it's, I don't just say it. Like it's a little like, I mean, it's not Gregorian chanting or whatever, but it's like, it kind of is. 'Cause I'm just sort of sing-songing my entire practice.
I mean,
It's
I
all
know for
singing.
myself, I do the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram to the music of the Final Fantasy Banishing of Sin
Oh, I have to
from
do
Final
that.
Fantasy X.
I have to do it. I have to try it. I have to try it.
And I've done that since college, so like it's been a long time. And anytime someone sees me do it, they're like, "What the f was that? Like, what was that?" Yeah, it's always fun. Now what is the best advice that you have either been given or you've come up with that you could share with the community that you think would be helpful right now?
I would say two things. One is strive, but don't try so hard. Like don't be so hard on yourself. Like the world is already freaking hard. You know what I mean? And just really like take care of your heart. Like that's like one of the most important things. I think that just that's the panacea. Like your heart is the panacea right now. That energy of the heart is like so huge and so available for us to really tap into that energy. And I think we need it so much, especially in times of intensity, right? Don't throw intensity at intensity, right? Like don't get shocked, burnt something or whatever. But regularity, and I think that that's my usual go-to is regularity. And it doesn't mean like regularity like I do it. Like I get up, I have 40 minutes of like pentagrams and singing and all kinds of stuff. And if I can get it 40 minutes, I will. Sometimes it's 20, right? But I'll get it in there. And for me, that works every day because I have to see people every day. And I need to be a very clean, clear, crystalline instrument for the next person that comes through so that there's no BS in my aura and there's no BS in the space that I'm in. And between each person, it has to be that way, right? So like it's always being clear. Some people that they have different lives, like they have different ways of doing things and they just find their regularity. So maybe it's once a week or every 3 days or like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like or whatever it is. But just going into your practices, the ones that you find that serve you, that make you feel the most at home in your body and the most at home in your mind and the most safe in your space. And just repeating those and just becoming the master of those things. Like just really become the adept of banishing pentagrams, if that's the thing that you need to be adept at, because that's making you feel safe and sane. Like that's this really, once you understand that the way that that functions from the practical to the energetic, when you turn it towards a different practice or a technology, you're like, oh, I see how that works, and you can adopt it a lot more easier. And it's a slick way to develop yourself in the long run that you don't necessarily see in the short.
I feel like a lot of people need to tune in to how much do I need of this? Like, and, because some people are like maybe once a week, maybe once a month, like there are once a month people.
When the moon is full, baby.
But, they're not like me who's like dealing with the temple every day, to do something else or do that. And I have to keep myself clear so I'm not projecting my own stuff on other people or, like seeing them through my garbage, kind of thing. I think that's really important to sort of recognize of like, how much do you need it? And I think the people who are doing it are really the judge of that. To get into another, opposite side archetype in the temple, of where that balance is. And I think that's important, an important message as well. Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about your professional services and your Patreon for our listeners? Just so, 'cause, we love that you are a temple minister, but I also, want you to be available if you are going to help serve.
So I am definitely a professional witch. Like I definitely th this has been not where I thought I was going to be with it, but it is love. I love it where I'm at, like in the way that it works. I my primary services I tend to offer are guidance and healing. And secondarily, I've helped people with trying to articulate the best way for them to like do a spell for something or make some change in their lives, and I call those sessions. So readings, healings, and sessions, and I'll set people up for, like acute cases for healing stuff that we're working on, or just a one-off in which they just need things, balanced or right. I do that online. So we have Zoom sessions, we have book sessions in which we schedule things together, and then I also now have a studio in Northeast LA off of York Boulevard, inside a nursery. So I'm surrounded by like birdsong and butterflies and plants. That's owned by a friend, and I'm offering sessions there by appointment so people can come in and they can book me online or they can book me in person, either or. It's called the Echo Garden Nursery. It's a really beautiful place. I've been going there for a long time. The Patreon, that is a weird beast. That started as a push just before the pandemic, by a friend, my writer friend, who was like, "You should write and you should be paid to write." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know." Da, da, da. And she was like, "Just set up a Patreon, like I'll subscribe." And I was like, "Okay." And then some people then did. And I was like, "Oh, it is very much a scratch pad. It is very much a creative space." I know a lot of people have very polished, very specific Patreon things in which it's like, "And all of these things are going to happen and you're going to get this t-shirt," sort of thing. Whereas mine tends to be offerings of writing. So I have weekly, I call them Saturday services. I get online, I offer them for free on the Patreon. You get a write-up about what's behind that or what's behind the cards. I often offer recordings of classes that I may record specifically for the Patreon. Oodles of meditation stuff. I just started to redo the process of meditation, which is including a little bit of like mindfulness practices with like witchcraft occult practices sort of crossed over and sort of building up again into like energy practices with that. I like to refresh those every now and then. Although there is a library because I've been doing it on there for about 5 years now. 5 years now. Yeah, 5 years now. I was gonna say three, but it's actually five. And then the higher tiers on there are really just discounted on the services. So people who are subscribing at the, much higher levels basically are paying for a discount on services with me down the road or for other people. Like I have someone who subscribes there and it's like, "Oh, this is for so and so." And then this month I'd like to give it to so and so. And then I see those people either in person or on Zoom.
That's awesome. So, for those of who want to find your services or things, how can they reach you?
The Star and Stone LLC.com. That's the company sort of I've umbrellaed everything under. So everything that is me is there. And patreon.com/ScottKSmith, my name, is there. Although I do post a lot on Facebook, and I do have which this is a dodgy place now, it's Facebook. But it is there, and it has been there for, I don't know, more than a decade of posts and stuff there. And my Instagram was also, I'm trying to move more towards blue sky, but I would say right now you can really find me in those two spaces also.
Awesome. For the Aries ministry, though, how can people either contact you if they have questions or want to volunteer or anything like that?
It's you go to the templeofwitchcraft.org, and I think it's templeofwitchcraft.org/Aries. is the web page where we have, our mission statements, the protection list, the mailing list, veteran support services, like where to go for if you're looking for like, who do I contact about blah 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 in my area? I put in a link there, including some reading lists, books, sorry, a reading list of books. And you can email me at aries@templeofwitchcraft.org. That's a great way to do it if you're interested in volunteering as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. This has been great.
Yay! Yes.
Let us close down our space and say goodbye to our lovely listeners. We
Thank
thank
you.
the Great Spirit and the two who move as one. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We thank the goddess and the god who move through us and work with us. May we recognize your presence in our lives. Blessed be. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Bye, listeners.
Recipe.
You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.